Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. On January 17th, Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+, and we can't wait for you guys to see it.
And before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recap podcasts.
Yep. Each weekday beginning January 7th, we'll be dropping an episode featuring exclusive behind-the-scenes tidbits and brilliant insights from our cast and crew and us.
Patricia Arquette, Britt Lauer, Zach Cherry, John Turturro, the list goes on.
All your favorite Lumen employees, their friends, families, enemies, in your feed every single weekday.
And here's the best part. After that, we're going to keep going. Tune in weekly as we recap every episode of season 2. The podcast drops on the same day the episode comes out.
It's the Severance Podcast with Ben and Adam.
On Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I just got back from Washington, D.C. I had an amazing time. I was getting an award for being a small business advocate. And so while I was in the nation's capital, I thought, well, you know, I'm going to go and hang out with all of our representatives and senators in our D.C. delegation. And I can just let them tell me how awesome I am because I like that kind of stuff, right? A little pat on the back. You know, who doesn't love a pat on the back? And then I'm going to come back home feeling real good about me. And so when I went to make the appointments, I remember Andrew Craig's legislative assistant saying, well, Shaletta, what's your ask? And I was like, oh, I didn't know I was supposed to be asking for something. Or didn't know I was supposed to need anything. I just, you know, wanted to, it's a rah-rah session. We were just going, oh, rah-rah about how great Shaletta is. And so I said, hey, my kids are crying. I'm going to call you back. I was lying. My kids weren't crying. But I knew I needed to call somebody who was well-versed in politics and, you know, somebody who could help me do a better job of strategizing what my ask would be, whether it would be for my company or something else. And so I called my friend Eric Escala and I said, hey, Andrew Craig's people want to know what my ask is. And he was like, well, you're a small business owner. Go up there and talk to them and give your small business friends access to them. Ask them what they need and share those concerns with the legislators because they may never get an opportunity to go to D.C., right? Most of them are solopreneurs. Who's got time to go to D.C. to talk to a legislator? Folks trying to keep their doors open. If you're really an advocate, sounds like something you should do. I was like, yes, that is exactly it. So we had our letter writing campaign. 100 or so business owners came to St. Paul a couple of weekends ago, and we wrote letters, and I got those letters and made copies and got them to all of our representatives. And so when I got to Ilhan Omar's office, before I gave her those letters, I needed her to know how much I appreciated her. So this is not something you can legislate. This is not a law you can pass. This is not a bill you can sign. It's not an initiative. But her, being the person that she is, doing the work she does, gives me permission to be bold, to be brave, to make good trouble. And I don't really understand. I don't really know if she understands it, but she created a movement where black and brown women are looking at her as one of our leaders. And she's not just walking the walk, she's talking the talk. And I needed her to know how much we appreciate her being so open and out front and the sacrifices that she makes to share her journey with us. And so in addition to meeting her in D.C., she is joining us now on the John Schuster Caldwell Banker Hotline. Representative Ilhan, girl, I had to tell you that. I'm sorry. I know I was supposed to be there dropping these letters off, but I just needed to let you know you created a movement so that me and Tamika and Devana and, you know, Marsha and so many other women of color who are in business, who are in positions of leadership can, you know, follow the trail that you blazed.
Oh, that's so sweet of you. Thank you so much. I mean, you know, I always say it's not like that, you know, many of us who are firsts, who are trailblazers run to be that. But it is a wonderful opportunity, not just to get yourself elected, but to open the door, right, for so many people to be able to see themselves in you and think to themselves, if Ilhan can do it, I can do, you know, whatever. And in your case, and so many, it's inspiring them to lean in and to step into their power and be, you know, just really amazing heroes in their own regards.
But this is the thing. You could just do your work and not worry about us. You could just do you and say, you know, I'm here to legislate. I'm not going to be your hero. I'm just going to do my job. I'm going to keep my head low. But, you know, when we open up our magazines and when we see our stories that you're telling, we see ourselves and it fuels the fire within us to do more, to be more, to get out there and make our voices heard.
Yeah, I mean, and that's what representative democracy is supposed to be, right? We are supposed to have this sort of multiracial, multigenerational kind of representation where everybody feels that they are seen and heard. And I remember, you know, my grandfather saying to me, in a representative democracy, those who seek to represent should have an understanding and fluency in the people that they serve so that they can be an adequate advocate for them. And you know, it's been an incredible journey to be able to bring light to so many stories of struggle and help people, you know, find their own path of advocating for themselves and reaching their dreams.
And, you know, it's you're doing that. You're doing it out front, but you're also behind the scenes doing all the work. You know, when I was in D.C., I was doing my research. I was doing my homework. And I'm like, well, what are these legislators working on? And this Brittany Clardy bill, where you're at the forefront of a bill addressing the crisis of missing and murdered Black women and girls. You and I both know that when Black women come up missing and we call the police, they're like, oh, well, she's probably just a runaway. The investigations are not looked into. We've seen time and time again when white women come up missing, you know, the world stops and it's on CNN and it's everywhere. And Black people have to raise their hand and say, well, what about this girl that's missing? What about that woman that's missing? And that keeps happening in our society. But you have this Brittany Clardy bill that you're working on. Tell us about that.
Yeah, I mean, that has been a lot of our work, whether it is talking about the maternal mortality crisis where Black women are four times more likely to die in just giving birth than our counterparts that are white, or whether it is advocating for the PUSH Act to try to make sure, you know, Black girls who are disproportionately suspended and kicked out of school, you know, more than their counterparts, or whether it is the Clown Act, which Minnesota passed in trying to make sure we're not discriminated for showing up in the way in which God created us and wearing our crowns and however we want to wear it, or now addressing the crisis of the missing and murdered Black women and girls. It's an issue that has been flying under the radar for too long. You know, the bill takes a page from Minnesota's playbook, where similar initiative has shown promise. It's about learning from that work. We named it after Brittany Clark D., a Minnesotan whose tragic story should never be forgotten. Her family took quick action when she went missing, even though the police initially brushed them off. Mm-hmm. It's a reminder of why we need this bill. The core of the bill is to set up an office for the missing and murdered Black women and girls within the Department of Justice. This office is going to be a big player in tackling disparities in violence. It is going to dive into research, gather data about missing and murdered Black women and girls, and come up with smart policy ideas. They are not going to stop at just the data. They're also going to develop best practices too. Think of it as a roadmap of how law enforcement and communities can better respond to these crimes. This bill is going to be a real game changer, pushing us toward justice awareness and protection for Black women and girls who face challenges for far too long. And I am incredibly excited to introduce it on the 19th and give it a platform through the African American Leadership Conference that the Black Caucus is putting on next week here in D.C., and we're going to have a lot of incredible Minnesotans, women who have been leading, you know, researchers, professors, victims, so many people who have been in the forefront, and we're going to give them a platform and make sure that this issue is one that people understand, one that people start to care about, and one that we don't have to deal with for too long.
I know that one of the things you care about is food insecurity. And you were recently here in the Twin Cities, and you went to Southern Anoka Community Assistant Food Shelf, and you celebrated the $1 million in funding that you've been able to give this community. Talk to me about how you are helping to address the food insecurity here in Minnesota in Southern Anoka County.
Oh, my God. Thank you so much for asking about that, because most people don't ever like want to talk about this.
Girl, I be doing my homework, girl. Yes, ma'am. I was like, what's she up to? What's she been doing? And that's the thing. The reason I'm asking you about that today is because nobody's talking about it. When I got ready to do the research on that, I Googled it. Not one story. I'm like, how do you bring $1 million into a food shelf in Southern Anoka County, and that is not in the paper, that is not making the news, that is not being talked about?
Yeah, girl, most people don't even remember I represent that part of the district. But food issues have been really important to me. Most people don't know that before I got into government, I used to be a nutrition educator with the University of Minnesota's Extension Department. And I'm also someone who's experienced hunger in ways that are unimaginable to normal people here in this country. And so we fight for universal school meals, which Minnesota just passed. We fight to try to deliver when we do our community project funding, which is a direct appropriation to community projects that we look for, to fund organizations like SACA that provide resources to communities like Hilltop and Columbia Heights and Fritley and St. Anthony, which I represent. But we also, provided money to Shiloh in North Minneapolis for the food program that they have. We partner with so many food organizations to try to make sure that the gap that exists is filled. And, these agencies that are doing critically important work are getting the attention of the federal government, and that their representative is delivering actual dollars so that they can continue to serve the community.
Now, I have to tell you, I appreciate all the swift action that you take. I came to your office this week on Tuesday, and we met and chatted, and I dropped off a box of letters for Minnesota small black business owners. Some of them are in your district. Some of them are not. And you took the time to read them. I understand that your office has already started responding. It hasn't even been,
we've
3 days.
We've responded to every single letter that you dropped off, and look forward to connecting them with resources and trying to make sure that the issues that they raised is addressed. Taking care of our small businesses is another priority of mine. When I chatted a little bit that when, it was Black Business Month, we sat down with the small business owners, especially Black women small business owners, to some friends in North Minneapolis, like Kenya McKnight and others, who were willing to share their vulnerabilities, the opportunities that exist, and the successes that they are having, as well as some of the challenges. We provided resources to Neon to create a kitchen for food entrepreneurs. And that came out of conversations that we had in previous years in trying to understand some of the challenges that they were having in securing funds. And, it's when it was Small Business Month, we also had the second gentleman come in, and we toured with him in around some small businesses in the district. What you are doing in advocating for them, sharing their stories, is so vital. And I know that Representative Dean Phillips was sharing with you how he might utilize the small business committee that he's on in trying to have some hearings, and maybe we can do field hearings. I look forward to connecting with him to try to see if we can do a field hearing in Minnesota to directly have them in front of us and other colleagues to share some of their challenges and the opportunities that they have and how we can further assist them.
I would love to moderate and be a part of that. Y'all be sure to call me and use me as a resource. I am here for you like you are here for these small business owners. Representative Ilhan Omar, thank you so much for being kind enough to allow me to spend some time with you on Tuesday when I was in Washington, D.C. And thank you for being on the Shaletta Show.
Thank you, sis. And thank you for always sharing, the good gospel of the community. Really, really do appreciate you.
All right. You have an amazing weekend. Thank you for the time.
You too. Bye.
All right. And you all stick around. We've got more to come. It is 2:28. You are listening to News Talk 830 WCCO Radio, your good neighbor station. I am so glad to have Chantel Dream Booker in the studio. Dream in Color Healings is her company. She was one of the many small business owners who joined me last Saturday when we wrote letters to Congress. And I dropped those letters off on Tuesday to Ilhan Omar, Tina Smith, Dean Phillips, Angie Craig, and Betty McCollum. And you have already gotten calls and responses from our D.C. legislators. So I had to have you join me in the studio. First of all, thank you for coming to the event. I just appreciate you sharing your story and stepping out on faith and saying, you know what? Somebody got something for me and I want it. And as a small business owner, if we don't do that, we are not going to make it.
I just want to just thank you for inviting me. I was surprised when I got the call. I was in a meeting and I came down like, whose number is this? But I was just grateful to just come, you know.
Yeah.
You very much inspired me, the first initiative that you had with the workshop.
Yeah.
And so just following you and just following your story and seeing all that you've done for small business owners, I didn't have no other choice but to come.
Oh, I'm glad you came. Now, when we were writing those letters, I don't know about you, but I've never written a letter to like a congressperson or a senator or a mayor or a city council, school board. I've just never taken the time to do anything like that. Had you ever done that before?
No, I haven't. And matter of fact, I don't even like asking people for stuff. So, I mean, that was just stepping out of my comfort zone altogether.
Yeah. Now, what was in your letter when you sat down, took the time to write it? Because, you know, the one thing that I appreciated, too, is when we had this letter writing event at Flavor Cafe last Saturday, I knew I couldn't tell y'all what to put in them because I didn't know myself. So Carrie Dietzick and Judy Seeberger and women from the League of Women Voters, they all came to help us kind of put it together to make sure that it sounded well, that it wasn't too long, but it wasn't too short, and to frame what our ask was. So after we got that really good information from them, what did you decide to put in your letter?
I just started to really speak from my heart and just to be honest. My business is a yoga business where I focus on restorative yoga for adults and children.
Mm-hmm.
So I just kind of explained what I do. And then my ask was to just get help. I've written a lot of I've applied for a lot of different grants within the city, but I haven't got accepted for any. So I told my story about that.
Mm-hmm.
My ask was for a multi-use property. And I was just kind of very direct, what I needed, a multi-use property, some capital to actually pay healing, community healers what they're worth. And just being able to, marketing resources so I can get, what I do out there.
Yeah.
Because what I've been finding just as a community healer myself is that a lot of people don't really see the value in it as of right now.
Yeah. Because this is new.
Yeah.
It's something that we've never seen before. And with everything that we've gone through, George Floyd, COVID, Dante Wright, our city burned down for 3 days.
Yeah.
The things that our kids are dealing with, to have a community healer and use, your gifts and talents as a yoga instructor and everything that you have available with your business is new.
Mm-hmm.
And that marketing piece, that talking about it piece, that getting the word out piece is so important, but it can be expensive. And so I'm glad you asked for that. Okay, so we got to take a quick commercial break. I got to do the weather, but when we come back, we're going to be talking more with Ms. Chantel. This Tuesday, I was in Washington, D.C., dropping off letters from Minnesota's black small business owners, asking our congressional leaders for help, whether that was financial capital, social capital, political capital, just a little bit of assistance, maybe the thing that we need to help us get over the hump. When I started my business 3 years ago, I did not really understand the barriers in place, the systemic and structural barriers that kept black female entrepreneurs from having access to funding, bank loans, credit cards, just the simplest things that you need to go from surviving to thriving are not available. And so whenever I see black women-owned businesses out there doing their thing, I try to help as much as I can. And so last Saturday, I had a letter writing event for black business owners, and we were trying to reach out to our congressional leaders, and we came together. And one of those people who was at Flavor Cafe is Chantel Dream Booker. She is the owner of Dream and Color Healing. You can find that at dreamandcolorhealing.com. She's a yoga instructor. She does community healing. And, you know, we've been through a lot. Tragedy, turmoil, unrest. At some point, we got to unwind and get that knot out of our back. And you know what? A massage ain't going to always do it. Praying ain't going to always do it. We need some community healers like Chantel who can help us get that done. And I'm so glad you're joining me. I'm so glad you came to the letter writing event. And I'm so glad that you have already started hearing back from those legislators. How surprised were you? Because, girl, it seemed like I walked out the door and they started calling people. I was like, people said, I just heard from Dean. Really? I just heard from Ilhan for real. I just walked out. It was like they immediately started calling all the business owners whose letters I dropped off in D.C.
Yeah, I was surprised. I felt like I had just seen that you just landed or something. It seemed like you just there. It was 2 seconds. And then 2 minutes later, I got an email from Ilhan, and I could tell that, like, she read it because it was personal to me. It talked about things that was in my letter. So I was definitely surprised and kind of just taken back, like, okay. I can't even explain the feeling. Like,
you know, I know it probably feels like validation, like, you know, and that's the thing. It's like, thank you. Somebody sees me. Thank you. Somebody understands. Thank you. Somebody cares.
Yeah. Like, it does feel, I mean, I'm just meeting you and just coming to these events have been a blessing. Like, I feel like things have just been like aligning and so fast that it's kind of scary.
Good. And see, that's the thing about us. It's ShalettaMakesMeLaugh.com. We move fast. Like, I just got a new assistant, and she's like, I can't. Josh is laughing because I be dragging Josh to my producer here at CCO. Like, my little assistant, Jen, she's like, okay. And so what? And what? And what? I'm like, girl, we move fast around here because we don't, when the spirit is moving, we moving. Yeah. We don't wait. We get it moving. And so I'm just glad that you are, like, saying, you know what? I'm going to do it afraid. I'm going to do it on faith. I'm stepping out. And so for those folks who are out there who are listening in and they want to know more about your company, Chantel, tell them about your business.
So Dream and Color Healing is a restorative business that provides healing spaces for adults and children. Right now, I don't have like a set brick and mortar. Mm-hmm. So I do a lot of my community stuff out of the Jimmy Lee Rec Center.
Okay, yeah.
And I also, I just started working with toddlers at a daycare, Miracle-Gro Learning Academy.
Yeah, okay.
And then I also provide yoga at Hamlin for those students there. So any Hamlin students, Monday nights, yoga at 7 o'clock in the field house. And it's free to the students. You know, just come in. I do candlelight yoga. I was just really excited that they asked me to come back this semester to just help those students. I, you know, was a college student at one point,
yeah.
And I know, you know, the stress that it, you know, that you go through. So that really was my thing, is just be who I needed. And so, you know, I try to provide those spaces for people, and I tell people all the time, healers need healing.
Yeah.
This is, I just, yoga just kind of just helped me within my own healing. So I'm healing myself by also helping others heal.
Okay. Now, there are some organizations or some folks out there who are saying, you know what, we should have her come in on Tuesdays. You know, we should have her come in on Saturday mornings. We should have her come in and do sessions with us and our team. And it's also an opportunity to bond, whether it is a school or it is a company or even maybe a family, you know, that you come in and you provide your area of expertise, which is yoga, which is healing, which is getting us centered and grounded and at peace with our bodies and our lives. How can they reach you?
Well, they can reach me by going to my website, which is dreamincolorhealing.com. I'm also on Instagram, which is the same, Dream and Color Healing. You can email me at info@dreamincolorhealing.com. Facebook as well, Dream and Color Healing. So, yep.
You got the lock on Dream and yes, Color Healing. Now, where did that name come from? I love that.
It came from like my Facebook name, the Dream in the middle, because my middle name is not really Dream. It just kind of, when Facebook started, you could put all different types of names. And
yeah,
stuff in there.
Yeah.
And then I wasn't able to change it. So it just kind of stuck. And just since, you know, I was in grade school, I've always been interested in dreams, mm-hmm. where I used to kind of like study them and, mm-hmm. you know, all the meaning behind it. So when I thought about dreaming in color, sometimes you do. And then if you even dream in color, you bring that whatever it is that you want to reality. So every day that you wake up, you whatever it is that you imagine and you manifest, you can do it. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of where I just came with Dream in Color.
And you have manifested your own business.
Yes, ma'am.
You have manifested this ministry that you have. And that's what I was telling these legislators. I said, you know, every business owner, and I was especially thinking about you. You are not just, you know, opening up a business because you want to make $1 million. That's great. But you're also helping the community to heal. So behind your business is a mission. And that's why I want people to support you. That's why I'm going to support you. This is what I'm going to do. Now, you surprise mama. Her mom's here. Give your mom a shout out.
Hey, mom.
All right. What's mama's name? Her co-workers might be there. She's talking about, hey, mom.
My mom's name is Charlene Taylor.
Okay.
And then my sister is also with me, Kanisha Taylor.
All right. What side of town mama living on? I want to make sure her neighbor's here.
My mom lives in Eagan. Both of them live in Eagan.
All right. Eagan's in the house. Okay. So this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to give you a free 1-hour marketing consult.
Thank you.
And we're going to sit down and I'm going to take you to lunch and I'm going to help you get a strategy and a plan to market your business so that every TV station in town, every school and every business is thinking about you, thinking about your company and putting you first on the list to call. Don't you start no crying in here. This is your letter makes me laugh. This is not your letter makes me cry.
It's happy tears.
Your letter makes me laugh. Not your letter makes me cry. But I want to see you succeed. I want to see you blessed. I want to see you in a position next year where you can buy 5 billboards for 5 black women like I did last month for Black Business Month. That's what I want for you. I want you to feed your family and the family. You know what? We're going to just go. I'm not even looking at her. She crying so hard, y'all. She done pulled out. Josh, I got to take the picture. She done pulled out some tissue. Hold on. She is hooping and hollering and crying. I know your mama ain't over there crying, too. Mama, she done put her head down. She crying. They're going to make me change the name of my company. It's supposed to be called Shaletta Makes Me Laugh. Shaletta Makes Me Cry.
Happy tears.
Well, I love you. I'm so proud of you. And just keep doing the good work. And we're going to go to lunch soon so I can get you that marketing strategy. Okay?
All right, thank you.
All right. Oh, Josh then came in late with the claps. You know what? Just go to commercial. We'll talk to Steve. Me and this guy used to be together every Saturday and, you know, technology happened, COVID happened, and now he's at the home studio. Steve Thompson, you are coming up next. You're going to be on the air until 5:30 and then at 6:10 is the first pitch?
Right. Pre-game lineup card, 5:30 today.
All right. Now, who are we playing? Chicago?
Yeah, the lowly White Sox. Here's a team that 2 years ago, Shaletta, was favored to win the division. Ultimately, Cleveland won the division. Twins led a year ago for much of the year, then kind of fell apart in the final 2 months of the season. And Chicago was still considered to be a potential division contender this year, and they have just fallen apart. So they're in full rebuild mode, and the Twins have been able to take advantage. So they're closing in on that division crown. It's kind of exciting.
I know, and we need some excitement because everybody's upset about the Vikings being 0-2 already. What has happened, Steve? There was so much promise last year. Last year we were talking about Super Bowl.
Well, here's the thing. A year ago, the Vikings won every conceivable game, and they were super close in every one of those games. And they found a way to win every one of them. It was extraordinary what happened.
It was.
But ultimately, they got into the playoffs and played a very average Giants team and got blown out at home by the Giants. I just don't think this Viking team is very good. They're 0-2.
It came out your mouth. You're not going to just pass me up on that. You got to tell me why you don't think they're that good.
Well, because a year ago, they won the division, and there was a lot of optimism, but in reality, it was smoke and mirrors.
Oh.
You know, they were very fortunate to win a handful of games a year ago, and that put them into the postseason. Like I said, they got blown out by a very average Giants team at home in the playoffs a year ago, and I don't think they added a lot of talent from a year ago, and everyone says, well, they should have beat Tampa Bay. But the bottom line is they didn't. They got beat by Tampa Bay at home. And then, they made it close. They had a chance in the second half to win in Philly. But they didn't. And they're 0-2. And it is a very bottom line business. And I know they have Kirk Cousins and Justin Jefferson, and they have some other good players. They just don't have enough good players. And I think it's going to be a long year for the Vikings.
Okay, is it talent? Is it coaching? Is it a combination of the two? Is it schedule? What is it?
In the NFL, it's probably 70% talent and 30% coaching. I just don't think they have enough players. I think Kevin O'Connell's a pretty good coach. Kirk Cousins is a good player. Justin Jefferson is the best wide receiver in football. TJ Hockenson is an outstanding tight end. I don't think he's the best tight end in football. That's Travis Kelce. You've got Danielle Hunter. You've got some good players, but you need a lot of good players to be a Super Bowl contender, and I don't think the Vikings are in that category. So Kevin O'Connell, a good young coach. Brian Flores, a defensive coordinator, is very well thought of. I just think every year Viking fans tend to fall into this trap where this is a year we're going to win the division.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to get in a deep run.
Every time.
And I just don't see it.
Okay.
What
needs to happen, like, immediately? If you were holding the pocket strings and you could make one move, one change immediately that you think would, you know, make a difference right now?
Well, I don't think there is, because you need 11 guys on both sides of the football. I think they have O-line problems, and that's been a reoccurring theme with this team. I think the O-line overachieved a year ago, but this year the offensive line is nicked up, and I think they've struggled. They've turned the ball over a lot, and I don't think they have enough playmakers on defense. Once again, Harrison Smith, wonderful player. You got Danielle Hunter, who's terrific. They just don't have enough of those guys. So I don't think there is one fix, but you did ask one thing.
One thing.
Stop turning the ball over.
I knew you were going to say that.
Stop turning the ball over. and maybe they're 1-1. And maybe if they played two clean games, maybe they're 2-0. I just don't think this team, as it's structured, is a legitimate Super Bowl contender.
You just broke our hearts.
Just trying to be honest.
You know, sometimes lie to me. I need somebody to lie. I need somebody to not tell me the truth. Okay.
Well, there are people choice. that There are people that will do that, but Shaletta, I'm not one.
You are not one of them.
I'm not one of them.
Man, I thought about you when I was in D.C. and I was going down those halls in Congress, dropping off those letters from small business owners. I said, I know Steve Thompson's proud of me. I know him and Michelle are clapping and praying. I just appreciate your support all these years, I tell you.
I can't believe. Well, I can believe because you actually go out and do it. But what you've done and what you continue to do is extraordinary.
I love you, brother. He's coming up next as Steve Thompson. We'll see y'all next weekend.